I'm asking you that have ears to hear and have the capability and the spirit to do it, to press in to this last place of dying to the flesh, says the Spirit of grace. Birth this thing, not for yourself only, but for those who are hurting, dying in this world, committing suicide and desperate, both physical suicide and emotional suicide. No answers to be found. Halecharisity, will you love me enough to go into a place not out of desperation because things are falling apart, but rather to seek me when the sun is shining and when you have the election of choice to go in and press past the barriers, the walls of the flesh? I'm asking you to come apart. I'm asking you to go into that place and intercede for those who cannot intercede for themselves, and birth this thing. Bring it to pass so that a presence hovers over this church and over this city and over this region, and creates an atmosphere that is so conducive for salvation that people are continually, without solicitation from others, but what is on their minds and what is being amplified through the atmosphere is, what must I do to change my life? Where is the answer? What must I do to be saved? Does God have an answer for my life? And in that cry, I'll answer them, the lost, with love and atmosphere coming out of this place and houses like it and places like it, and individuals that are watching these streaming services who, for the time being, their home is their church. I'll emanate from you. I'll ooze out of your particular location, says the Spirit. Oh, of God. Yes, sir. I heard that. Now is the time of pressing. Now's the time for extra. Don't believe your flesh. It will lie to you. And if you agree with it, then the two will make one. Do not agree with your flesh that you do not have the time, or the excuse that it offers that you cannot because of other things. For now is the time to push in, to press towards the mark. For the day and hour will change, and the atmosphere will come, and the sun of healing will arise with healing in his wings, and an atmosphere will change, and a breath will come over the land called revival and restoration and renewal. For the pressing is now, and the extra is now. The time of commitment is now for more. For the time will come, says the Spirit of the Lord, that like my son when he was on the earth, who sought me privately, his entire life was engaged out of ministry, out of that place in his life, that in his entire life was a continual ministry, going to and fro and ministering, so much so that my word says that if all the things recorded of his ministry could have been put down in books, the one supposed that the whole world could not contain the books that would be written of his works. And the same thing will be said of you. You'll be very busy. You'll be very busy in good things. The church will be full and robust and bustling and going here and there, and great works will be done like was recorded in the strongest time of the book of Acts. This will last to the end, and you'll cry out in your heart in desperation, longing out of that place of intimacy that was nurtured and built and grew during this time. You'll say, Lord, I'm desiring more time in you because I'm so consumed in doing your ministry. You'll weep in a wonderful way, and I'll console you that it seems as if the multiple hours and times that you would spend in birthing is not where you'll be in that time, because you'll be so inundated in a beautiful way with ministry. But what birth will also sustain? What you brought forth in birthing will sustain you in intimacy and fellowship. I'll intimately commune with you as you lay hands on the sick and raise the dead and cast out devils, and your days are filled with many works. The season will change. It will change. You'll long for the private prayer times, and that will never completely be dismissed. But mark my word, says the Spirit of grace, the season is now for pressing, because it will change into ministry. You've not seen the season of ministry yet. You cry out for great works and you cry out for revival. What you're crying out for is something you've not imagined fully. It will be very time consuming. So much so that you'll relish the days when you had the hours to spend privately. But now is the time, says the Spirit of the Lord. As the waters cover the earth, as the waters of the sea cover the earth, as my prophet said, so will it be of my presence that will cover the planet. I'll harvest 1 billion+ souls. Bring them in and get them ready to go through whatever the enemy has planned in these last days. And I'll come and I'll harvest the earth with my angels, and I'll separate the sheep from the goats. But you'll always remember these days that I ask you to press in and push past the flesh and all negotiation with the flesh. Now is the time. Now is the time, says the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. I just got to sit for a minute. Would you worship with me, please? Hallelujah, Jesus. Lead us in something, Robert. I'm hungry, thirsty, whatever. Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. A little recovery helps. Thanks, Robert. Appreciate it, buddy. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, glory. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm looking at my notes, and the title here is Death Means Death. Turn to somebody and say, it's a happy message. Death means death. Hallelujah. I don't have this scripture in my notes, but I have to go to it because it was where we were at last week. I think we ministered on the sentence of death was the title. But I have to read this because I can't be amiss it to admit it not to. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. And this is where we were at last week, and I think this was our kickoff scripture, or one of them. Paul said in verse 8, "But we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, as we were pressed out of measure above strength, inasmuch as we despaired even of life. But we had," and this was last week's message title, and thereof, "but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, and whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." Amen. Hallelujah. So the Lord is the one that delivers and brings forth. So let me read this morning. We want to minister to you on the mind of death means death. But to do that, let me start with a prophetic word. It was, in a sense, I would say to call it a prophetic word. It was a communication to someone that we know and love and appreciate very much, that we often quote from around here. But it came to him, but it came to the entire body of Christ, meant for us as well. And the title of it is "Death Means Death." Now, this came from 1997, but it's more true today than it's ever been. Please listen. And I appreciate all of you being very much attentive and being a part of this morning. Death means death. It does not mean a partial separation of pulling away while keeping the world at arm's length within easy grasp. Once again, I know you're with me, but help me to feel this. Turn to somebody or speak it to me. Death means death. Thank you. Death means death, a further separation from affections for the things of this world is upon you, says the Lord. Even a further separation, death to the world is upon you now as you yield yourself to my spirit. Crucifixion is hard. I know, says the Lord, the flesh dies not easy. I know, says the Lord, pain and suffering are not pleasant. I know, says the Lord, my servant Paul found this out when he said, "It is with great tribulation that we do enter the kingdom of God." That's Acts 14:22. Only my spirit has the skill and the knife to complete the circumcision of your heart from those portions of the flesh that still love the world. Only as you yield to him can the cutting away be finished, and transformation and the metamorphosis be complete. You have chosen well, to yield yourself completely to my spirit and to my word, even now, there is residue of affections for things of the world are still being mortified in you, and I would say in us. They are still being cut away by my spirit. Death is death. There is no such thing as partial death. Death is death. But you see, my life is life. My spirit is in the process of taking you from death to death and bringing you unto life to life. So that's where we're headed, folks. Hallelujah. To walk in what you have asked me for requires death. Continue to plan your time, putting the utmost priority on those things which I have instructed you to do by my spirit. Feed my word into yourself. Yield yourself to my spirit. Walk with me, says the Lord. The transformation is all mine, but the yielding is all yours. If you continue to yield yourself yield your time to me, I will complete the transformation and you will walk in those things that you have seen in your spirit from your youth. Those things that you have known in your spirit from your youth, that is the truth of the gospel. It is true that as a husband loves his bride, I do love my flesh. That's the word. But understand, that does not mean that I love your flesh. I hate even the garment that is spotted by fallen flesh. My Father desires to fill your flesh with himself. But this will be a transformed flesh, a new wineskin that is able to contain the new wine. Transformation, transformation. Continue to allow my spirit to work the transformation. Give the utmost priority to time spent with me, says the Lord. Be not pulled in many directions, but be pulled by my spirit into those things that will cause my kingdom to prosper. Again, I admonish you to seek those things that are above and not those things which be on the earth. Receive those things from above is what causes, receiving those things that are from above is what causes the transformation and the deliverance of the earth, says the Lord. Spend time with my spirit. You must die to fame. You must die to man's approval. You must die to friends' approval. You must die to everything but my approval, says the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, on this walk, it's the most loving walk. If you love your family, you'll be on this walk because it'll eventually bring them in. But at the same time, if mama don't go, if hubby don't go, if wife don't go, if kids don't go, you have to not abandon them, but they can't be the influence in your life to say, well, he's not really going in or she's not really going in. So I have to kind of gravitate to where, sweetie, I'm going to cook your dinner, keep your house, do whatever I can. And be a good wife, husband. Darling, I'm going to make you a good living. I'm not going to be a couch potato. I'm not a bum. I'll provide for you. Don't get me started on that. If you're physically able to work, I believe you should work. Amen. But baby doll, or which one was it? I don't know. If you pull out your hair, flip your wig, tear the curtains off the seal, off the whatever, drive away in a car, I want to tell you something. I'm going to spend my time with God. Amen. I'm going into God. Yes, sir. You say, that's kind of radical. Y'all showed up knowing how radical this place is. Hallelujah. Now, some of you have to do it stealthily. I mean, you don't go in there. Some of you, there's no need to cause a big ruckus if you can do it stealthily. He may not know you're praying and fasting, but you're going to do it no matter what. Everybody say, death means death. Death means death. Hallelujah. We are not to wound the flesh. You can't wound it. You got to kill it. Thank you, brother. You got to kill it. Pastor Dave used to come down here all the time. He'd come down twice a year sometimes. One time we were having a little get together afterwards. And I don't know how he's just talking to me. You know, he's sowing into me. And at some point he just told me, and he wasn't being mean or nothing. We're just having a great old time. But to him, it didn't mean, I mean, and it didn't shock me either. But he said, Bronk, you know what God wants to do with you? You know, and I could have thought, yeah, he wants to raise up a mighty, you know, man of God. He goes, Brock, all God wants to do is kill you. He just wants to kill you. And I said, well, praise God. That's awesome. You know, the devil wants to kill you too, but that's a different kill. But God wants to kill all of you. Because that's, see, sin separates you. Sin, born again, separated you from sin. But the circumcision of your flesh, as in yourself, that separates you from, what is it that when I go over here and that baby's in a wheelchair and I can't get it up? It's not sin separating it. It's the leftover residue of me. Born again didn't get this kid out of a wheelchair. Holy Spirit and death to flesh. Oh, come on, somebody help me. Amen. So you can't wound this creature. You got to kill it. Thank you, Pastor Dave, for those inspiring words. Hallelujah. I have this in my notes. I might as well read. You cannot give it a good old college try. You know, what is that expression? Well, it's an old expression. Some of you don't. Just give it a good old college try. In other words, give it a good, take a good shot at it. You can't give it a good old college try. It won't work with the flesh. Death means death. You can't even negotiate with it. Don't even try to negotiate with it. It's a terrorist. You've run into yours too? We should get together and compare notes. You know, it wants to negotiate. I'm going to fast tomorrow, and when tomorrow comes, Monday, it'll tell you, I won't bother you in that thing that you needed to fast for. If you'll just not fast, and you say, okay, and then the next day, you wake up, it's there. Or it'll tell you something like, don't fast today, fast on Thursday, because that'll be a better day. And when Thursday gets there, you'll be like, I'm way too busy today to fast. It's like some of you kids probably don't even know who Popeye is, but you know, the old cartoon Popeye, olive oil. What was his Brutus? Was it Brutus? Who was his nemesis? No. Brutus, or that the guy that always tried to scare steal his girlfriend. Yeah. Brutus, wasn't it? Yeah, it was Brutus. And she's gonna look that up right now. I don't blame him. But anyhow, there was another character on there, Wimpy. And that was kind of a guy that come along, you know. He was Wimpy. That's what he was, Wimpy. And his whole thing was, I will gladly pay you Tuesday for a cheeseburger today. If you'll just give me something today, and he never paid his debts, you know that. But he would always sucker Popeye. Did you find out who it was?
Bluto and Brutus.
There's two different ones. She's right. And we're right. Okay. So he's always negotiating. Wimpy's always negotiating. If you'll give me a cheeseburger today, I'll gladly pay you on Tuesday. Well, Tuesday never comes. That's how the flesh is. If you'll just let me hang around, listen, as soon as I get off this vacation, I'm going into prayer. As soon as I get done with this project, I'm going to start a fast. Glory to God. The flesh. I'll tell you, I just thought about this again. This is funny. Now you want a chuckle? I'll give you a chuckle. An internal chuckle. Just if you can ever remember this. It exemplifies the flesh in all of us. Just keep it to yourself, though, but you'll have an internal chuckle. if you've ever been around people, well, all of us have, when you go out to eat, and this is an internal chuckle, you can laugh inside yourself, but don't say anything to anybody because it'll make people think you're being self-righteous or whatever. So if you ever notice this, it'll give you a good internal laugh. People will be standing in the foyer of a restaurant ready to go eat, or they'll be sitting down at a table, or they'll all gather at a big get-together at somebody's house or some. And the number one topic is the diet you're on, or the diet you're about to start, or the diet that somebody else is doing. And you're just about to go eat, and the subject matter is refraining from food. I've been to so many conferences, and we would go out to eat, and I tell you, half the time is when everybody sits down, it's like, what are you doing? You're looking so good. Well, I'm on this such and such a diet, and I'm on that, and the whole thing goes into a diet, and I'm fixing to eat, and we're all about to. Why do you suppose that diets and those kinds of things come up just before a meal? It's because we have a defense mechanism and say, what I'm about to enjoy, I'm putting off in my thoughts. And that's how the flesh is. Now, that's not sin. I'm not describing sin or anything like that. I'm just saying, recognizing the flesh that's there. Come on, somebody, help me. Don't get quiet. I'm not getting serious with you. I'm just telling you something funny, okay? Listen, Paul said this, you cannot, basically, he's teaching us, you cannot negotiate with it. Galatians 2, 19 through 21, listen to these words. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness come by the law, then Christ is died or dead in vain. Crucifixion. Crucifixion has only, it only has one objective, one goal. What is it? Death. Crucifixion. And you understand, I'm not talking about his crucifixion. I'm talking about a crucified life, a life that is crucified in Christ. Crucifixion only has one objective: kill the individual, do not wound him. Partial crucifixion is not death. We get on a cross. Why do you get on a cross? To die. We got all kind of stuff going on here. If that's scripture, just cut it off. We don't get on a cross to hang there. We get on a cross to die. Hallelujah. It's like I think Dave once described, it's one of those, he said a family went over to a farmer's house or someplace, and they were invited over, and for a family get together, and they looked, and here come this hog or this pig, and it's coming along, and its whole back ham or whole back side, one of its legs is totally missing, and he's coming in there in a prosthetic, and they made him a leg, and the guy goes, and he just comes right in the house because he's like one of the pets, he's like a pet, and he said, what is it with this? What happened? Did he have an accident or what? Why's this pig got a prosthetic back half or leg and ham's off? guy and said, man, we bought him for slaughter. We were going to make pork chops out of him and ham, and we bought him for slaughter, but we fell in love with him, and he became a pet. And so now we're just eating him one leg at a time. We're just doing it a little bit at a time because we love him. You get the picture? Parts of your flesh, it'll say, just, you can amputate me, but give me a prosthetic. And don't kill me entirely. Death means death. Hallelujah. It means absolute crucifixion, death to the flesh. Crucifixion only has one objective, and that is to kill the individual, not to wound the individual. There's two types of suffering, at least, and this may not identify everything in suffering. This is not meant on teaching on suffering alone, but there's two types of suffering, and the first one we look at, it's actually, we find both of them in this scripture, and I'll turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. And we'll begin looking at verse 1. Remember, what we're wanting to look at here is two types of suffering in the sense of the word, that one, two types of suffering, but the one, we're going to identify one type of suffering, but the next one, we will prepare you for the second type of suffering. It'll actually prepare you as an individual for the second type. Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves. It's the word hoop or hop lidzo or hope lidzo. And the word arm, let me just tell you, and then I'll read the rest of that verse. It means to equip. Arm yourself. He says, equip yourself. It actually means to equip yourself with a weapon. And that's Strong's, but Thayer's goes a little bit further in hoplidzo. And it means to arm or to furnish with arms, to provide, to furnish oneself with a thing as with an arm. In other words, you went and bought some kind of weapon, and you put it in your house to arm yourself against invasion. Metaphorically, it means to take on the same mind. But to read the rest of that verse, it says, knowing that you understand, arm yourself, or the word arm. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. What does that mean, to suffer in the flesh? It doesn't mean that God wants you Jesus came that we not only born again, but to alleviate or to extract and take away our infirmities. He doesn't want you suffering psychologically, emotionally. He doesn't want you to suffer physically in the sense of your physical body. But the suffering here that is Peter is talking about is he that has armed himself takes on the likewise minded. It's the same scripture as in Philippians chapter 2, that we should be like-minded as Christ was. We've even got that scripture to come up here in a moment. But what we have to understand is the suffering that he's talking about here. He said, he who suffers in the flesh will cease from sin how does he put it? For the rest of his life. Now I'm using my, vernacular. In other words, when you come into the kingdom, if there's residue that challenges, yes, we all know that positionally speaking and what really does take place, if you're born again, things immediately begin to fall off. But anything that stands up, he gives this analogy. It's so strong. Arm yourself against it, and it may take some suffering. In other words, you may have to see that this is what much of the church lacks today. And I'm not trying to beat you with a hammer. I'm trying to help you and help those that are watching. The greatest liberation of your life is to be free from the things of the flesh that torment. You know, we smile all the time. People smile at church, and they smile in the mall, and they smile at family gatherings. And you know, behind that smile, there is so much suffering. They don't, even born-again, spirit-filled Christians, they don't want you to see. They don't take the lid off, because underneath there is, sometimes there's some yuck. And not, they don't even want it there. But they don't know how to get rid of it. But if you suffer now for a short season, he's saying in the flesh, do those things. Do we know what those things are? Yeah, we teach the four pillars. Pastor, I will do any, I've had people tell me, I will do, I hate what I'm doing. I hate this drinking. I hate this, I've through the years, I've ministered to a lot of men that have had problems with pornography. And they'll say, I'll do anything. You know, I'm sick of this. It's going to destroy my life. It's going to destroy my marriage. It's going to destroy this, that, and the other. I'll just do anything. But they only mean that to a portion. Because if you mean that, you'll gumnazo. Remember gumnazo? I'm not going to be demonstrative here. But you'll start, I'm going in. Okay, what does that mean? Okay. I'm going to do 10. If 10's not enough, when I come out and have a few shakes and eat a little bit, I'm sick of this, and I'll suffer until this thing is pulled out of me. Somehow it escaped born again, but it won't escape the arsenal of prayer and fasting. Because then you'll have born again spirit, which is already a mortification at immediate. And you couple that with the power twins of prayer and fasting. It's really not, it's just how bad does a man ever hate it or a woman ever hate it? That's, some people honestly can suffer with something for years. They just build up a suffering tolerance to something. I'll just suffer with this. I'd rather suffer in the flesh as in suffer with fast. I don't like to fast no more than you do. But I'll tell you what. I can promise you this. There is a peace and a quietness. When I'm not fasting, I can hear his voice very well. Thank you, Jesus. No brag, just thank you, Jesus. But when I'm fasting, especially when I get into it, it's like, you don't even try. He's just talking like, it's just, his voice gets so pristine, so clear. Death means death. It just means death. I don't know that you'll run out of here this morning and jump and do some jumping jacks and cartwheels in the parking lot. I hope maybe you do. But you're good listeners. I feel like you still love me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Maybe you'll be back here tonight. Or if you're not back here tonight, you still love me. Okay. He says in verse 2 that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past, or in times past, our life may have sufficed us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. And I could preach on that for about 2 days, but now they don't think it strange. There's really not a whole lot of persecution like, why aren't you drinking with us no more? or smoking with us or doping with us or, you know, fornicating with us. And you lovingly tell them, Jesus has changed my life. And this whole, I'll tell you, there's a harvest coming, man. I can see it. I just, I'll tell you what. All the glory to him. But I got to get that prophecy and listen to it. Because there's going to be a turn. And what he's asking us to do right now, it has a parenthesis around it. Not that you should hate this time. You should relish this time and say, well, the hours that I'm spending, it is good time. But if I'm hearing what he said right, it's like you're really not even going to have all that time for what's coming. So love this. Cherish it. It will fuel the other and stay with you in the other. But you better get ready to work. Glory be to God. You better get ready to work. Hallelujah. What did Gary say? You'll have, our meetings will be, they'll last so long and there'll be so many and you'll be all a part of that. And wherever we're at, hopefully we've got this huge place to facilitate it. If it starts here, we'll grow out of here and we'll go someplace. I don't know where that'll be, but it'll be so wonderful. It'll just be, some of you have and some of you haven't. I've been in services at the conference years ago when Dave was at where Dave was at his height, and God bless him. He's my pastor forever. But there were things going on. Ministry was taking place. He was ministering. But then when we got turned loose, there was healings here and there was healings there and there was atmosphere. Can you imagine the thermostat on that being turned up? And you as individuals who are praying, you're getting to be a part of that and going forward. Hallelujah. It's going to be so wonderful. And it's like what I started to say, Gary said, there'll come a time where you'll be being so used by God. The services will last and last and you'll like, I just need a cot to go lay down over in a corner just to get a few hours sleep because they're coming in. Honestly, we want revival. We don't really even know what revival is. I mean, it's like, it's going to be fun, real fun. Amen. It's going to be real fun. I think one of the blueprint prophecies was like, it's going to be like, we're going to have such an expectation on it. It's going to be like kids at Christmas, something like that. We won't even hardly be able to sleep. But at the same time, it's going to be like, whew, Jesus. You know, all those people that got healed this morning, I just need to lay down for a little bit. I need a Coke and not a decaf either. Hallelujah. And not a diet. Give me a straight Coke. Hallelujah. Diets hurt my head. So, hallelujah. But listen, he said they think it. In times where we're at, they think it's strange that you run not with them to the same excess of rioting or riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity, that's love, among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as in of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not. No, here's the second one. The first one is you're suffering in the flesh, as in resistance to sin, and say, okay, if something rises up, even if 10 years or 15 years after you're going into God and something comes against your flesh, you start feeling emotions or you start thinking about things or you start, don't get offended. Just say, oh, no. I identify you. You're the flesh. And maybe there's a devil coming to, don't say, oh no, I'm too big for this. Listen, you see this? You can mortify it, but you got to keep it mortified all the time. Chunk it over into the category of not letting it pray. Just don't let it pray. I wouldn't say do this experiment. But if you just want to chunk it over into not letting it pray for 6 months, you'd probably still be saved. But have you ever heard of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde? You will become something. Well, I thought you mortified. Oh, you did. That was mortified, but it will grow back. No, I fasted. I've already done 440s. Well, baby doll, you're going to have to do more as long as you live in this body. There's no time to say, that was the last one. I wish that was true. But the first suffering will prepare you for this suffering. But he says, beloved, think it not strange. Verse 12, the fiery trial, which is to try as though some strange thing is happened to you, but rejoice. Now, he identifies what he's talking about as this fiery trial. Rejoice in as much as you're partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If, what kind of suffering is he talking about here? If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he's evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. This is what he's telling us. If you'll be willing to do and be part of the first suffering, which is denying the flesh and dying, then when it comes to the suffering of persecution, you'll be able to rejoice. You'll be happy. If you don't mortify the flesh, and if the church comes under persecution, which it will in the last days, by the way, at some point I'm going to start teaching, but I can't. But I'll just give you, please, you've heard this before. Be ready to go all the way to the second coming of Christ, which is at the end of everything. What's the end of everything? Some years of persecution, some years of suffering. Hallelujah. But if the first church did it, we can do it too. But the way that we can do it is this. If you suffer now, you won't suffer then. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Well, I had more out of Peter, but let me get on with it just a little bit and get closer to the end here. Hallelujah. Let me just read this, because Jesus was not exempt from both kinds. We identify both kinds of suffering. One is of the flesh, dying to the flesh. Crucifixion. The other one is persecution, suffering. But if you'll do the one, you'll be ready for the other. You'll say, okay, listen, what does the scripture says? They may kill, Jesus said they may kill you, but be of good cheer, not a hair of your head will be harmed. And you're like, wait a minute, if I'm dead, what he's talking about, the identification is this. Who am I? I'm his son or daughter by spirit. And you can't kill this spirit. Death is only me laying down this body. And for me to fear death, if you'll die to the flesh, the mortification part, you won't ever fear death. When they come and persecute, if they do in your lifetime, maybe they don't. I hope they don't. But some generation's going to face it. Look what Jesus, or look at the life of Christ in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 through 9. It says, who, speaking of Christ, if we'd have read up to this portion in that chapter, who in the days of his flesh, that means when he was here on earth, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying. Everybody say strong crying. And tears. He offered it with tears. And again, I'll read the rest of this. But this is not just talking about Gethsemane or the 24 to 48 hours before the cross. Luke tells us that he did sweat great drops of blood, as in perspirating blood, because of the intense emotional struggle that he was in. But this says days, as in plural, and it does say it in the Greek as well. It's a time of his life. It is as in time past as was his entire life. So his entire life, that Jesus, who in the days of his flesh, while he was on this earth, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and he was heard in that he feared, though he were a son. Wow, this is really good. Yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect. I thought Jesus was perfect. He was sinless. This word is mature. He grew in the grace of God. He grew in the experience of suffering daily. Even if the word tells us in Philippians, he died. He gave himself over to death, even the death of the cross. One death led to the second death. A daily death led to the crucifixion death. And here it says in the days of his life that he was strong. We think that was Jesus. But it's given us an insight behind the veil into those private times. There were private times where he wasn't saying, God, rid me of this sin. There was no sin that he was trying to, he was saying, Lord, Father, keep me from my own path, from my own choices. Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from evil. Take me past anything that the flesh or the enemy would throw at me to stop and build my own kingdom. And he suffered in that sense of the word, that he gave himself continually over. And this is First Peter, where, or this is that scripture in Peter where it says, he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Well, Jesus wasn't ceasing from sin, but he was suffering in the flesh to keep from sinning. Never to have that place where he would ever yield. So listen, if my prototype can do this, if he cries out, it encourages me. Hallelujah. And being made perfect. Let me read it to you out of the Amplified. You'll get a little bit more. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up definite special petitions for that which he not only wanted but needed. And supplications with strong crying and tears to him who was able to save him out from death. And he was heard because of his reverence towards God, his godly fear, his piety, in that he shrank from the horrors of separation from the bright presence of the Father. Although he was a son, he learned active, special, I would say mature, obedience through what he suffered. And his complete experience making him perfectly equipped. Remember what Peter said, arm yourself. He became the author and source of eternal salvation to all those who give heed and obey him. Hallelujah. And of course, time won't allow. I'll just read a little bit in Philippians. I was going to read much here, but let me just read this. Philippians 2:3, it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Homer just did a teaching on that. Let this mind be in you. What mind? This mind, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a slave or servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself. This is what this whole crucifixion is about, is humbling ourselves, and became obedient, it says, and being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. And this is what we just quoted, even the death of the cross. One death presented him and brought him to another death. Hallelujah. Some people misunderstand our walk. They say, well, you're trying to earn something. No, we're not trying to earn anything. We're born again. This path, if you're not on this path and you're born again and you don't do the things deliberately and consecutively that we call deal breaker sins, whether you're close to God, this is amazing. Whether you're close to God or not close to God, he'll take you to heaven. Whether or not you're really in love with him or not in love with him, he'll take you to heaven as long as you don't destroy the DNA. As long as the DNA is still there, you get to go. And some people get to heaven, they really weren't, they were quite melancholy towards God. Oh, he became my Savior and I trusted him enough. But we want to get there red hot, don't we? I mean, ouch, you can't touch us. Hallelujah. I'll close with a couple, just the scripture. The one where we were at last week, 2 Corinthians 4:10 says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Christ might be made manifest. This is what it's all about. We're not sadistic here, I hope, or morbid. We're not trying to death, and us go out of here ever. But what we're teaching is death brings life. If you do, the effervescence of life permeates, emanates, oozes out of us by one part of our life behind the scenes, dying to the flesh, produces life. And this is what Paul said, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord, that's crucifixion, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered. I wish the whole body of Christ felt that way. We which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death works in us, but life in you, he said, to the body of Christ and all those who understand that life produces or death produces life. This is what Paul continued to try to get across to the body of Christ. We have to understand what we've been made. We've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. We know that. And we appreciate born again. But for us, for those of you that are science majors or geometry majors, there's one formula. There's only one formula for where we're going. There's only one equation for where we're going. It's like if I was, I've always wanted to be a college professor. Thank you, students, for being here today. And I know you're studying revival and miracles. I appreciate that. Let me give you for you science students, the formula, or for you geometry mathematicians, let me give you, just like pi r square, using that formulation will give you the area of a circle, if you know what the radius is, and then you apply pi to that. What is that? 3.1416, something like that. But here we go. Here's your equation for you students of revival. The equation is, I'm writing on a chalkboard, right? Okay. Born again. Got it? Okay. Plus spirit filled. Got to be baptized, right? Okay. So far, so good. Plus crucified life. Here's the equation. Equals children getting out of wheelchairs. And that's the best I can, that's the epitome for me for miracles. Here's the equation. Born again, spirit filled, death means death. And then I get to say, what was blocking me yesterday is not blocking me today. It fell off. They would kill us with the vision he had. And I'll close with this. He saw a little guy sitting in a wheelchair, stranded. There's no hope. You know, St. Jude's can't help him. Nobody can help him. And I'm standing in front of this little guy and him looking up, big brown eyes, and saying, "Mister, are you the one? Are you the person that will go far enough into God to receive the power to get me out of this wheelchair? Will you die enough? Will you lay down your life?" Hallelujah. I have no more. I love my life. I love my kids. I love my family, my wife, darling daughters, grandchildren. I love life. I love it. But I can't eat my cheeseburgers today and promise off that on Tuesday or Wednesday of next year. Because see, all my grandkids are, I mean, they have some challenges sometimes, but they're all real healthy. Thank God. So what do? Do I sit back on a couch someplace, watch football all day on Saturday, flip my hamburgers, say, "God, life is so good. You've prospered me." And God's not against any of that. But what mama, what daddy is going to represent when their kids are okay, but they'll take an hour out of their day or 2 hours out of their day or 1 day or 2 days a week and say, if it'll get me just one step closer. See, now this is me, and it's not meant for heaviness. I can't live like seeing how much money I can put in the bank, or how happy I can be, or how many vacations I can go on. And I can do all of that, but I can't live unless this part of the equation, death equals little kids getting out of will. Unless I'm doing that, my life is, it's a thumb stuck in the mud. It's nothing. Hallelujah. And now, since I've put all this on, said all this to you, let's all stand and rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No, I believe with all my heart that you're here today. Robert, please. I believe you're here today because I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching with you. You are at a point where all this can be said and said again. It's been said to you, but it's again, the Lord is saying, and I heard him say through that prophecy, go, press, 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 press. See, you have a great audience and great, but you're not just listening with your ears, you're listening with your heart. And I appreciate it so much. And you're so beloved of your Father. It's like when the angel came and told Daniel, you're so, God just loves you so much. You're so loved of your Father because you're here in this auditorium and you're watching and saying, I want to be part of the equation. I want to be part of the equation. So as we close, let's just lift our hands and magnify the Lord. We just worship you, Jesus. You are so worthy to receive praise. You're so worthy to receive praise, and we love you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Mekala solo kareste. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, we just bless. We bless you. We're so hungry. Sing it to him.
Thirsty, hungry, desperate for your presence.
Jesus, blessed be the Lamb. Worship you, Jesus.
Desperate for your presence.
Let there be less of me and more of you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So I'm going to pray over you, dismiss you. Robert's going to play for just another minute or so, just to make sure if there's anybody that needs anything, if you need prayer, we're here at the front for whatever reason. And we will pray for you if you need any kind of prayer. But other than that, we bless. Father, let these words sink in all of our hearts. There's none of us exempt. I'm not preaching from an arrived place, a position of having accomplished all this. I'm preaching and teaching as a student also. And I'm asking you to help us all to go into that place, that secret place of giving ourselves over to a life of mortification, that we won't fear in the days ahead. But I'm asking you, Father, in the name of Jesus, to prepare this church and that church, the church that says we identify with this, with a Mockley Prayer Center. And we just pray that we're going forward together means your grace in dying, but also bringing forth great life. We're excited, Father, about the days of ministry. You're going to use us incredibly. It's not because we're going to be perfect, but because we're going to be ready to be used. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You're formally dismissed. If anyone needs prayer, we'll take just a moment. Hallelujah. Amen.